97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
Good afternoon. I'm Heidi Harris in for Mark Reardon. Always fun hanging out with some of my favorite people in the radio business. Looking here at some breaking news this afternoon. The FBI has now arrested a woman who allegedly plotted an ISIS-linked attack on the New York State, in New York State, on the state capitol building. Jessica Bowie's her name. She apparently converted to Islam a couple of years ago and started to go by the name of Aisha Saif. Apparently, she was using a different name on a social media platform, but making threats and things like that. She's charged with attempting to provide material support to ISIS. A couple of these women have left America and gone and married some terrorist and gone over to another country, a third world country, and then they've tried to come back when they realize that the guys, And then most of the time, they're not allowed to go back to their country. Sometimes it's ours, sometimes it's somewhere else. But I don't understand why these women, I get that a lot of girls like the bad boys, but this goes above and beyond. Plus, they got her on camera, all right, actually buying things, buying bomb parts or things that you can. I used to have a friend who was, let me back up a little bit. I have a friend who was a arson investigator, and I know it's arson. It's not fire investigator. I mean, it's actually fire investigator. You don't say arson because you don't know if it's arson. And a bomb squad guy, okay? And he used to tell me, I could make a bomb with what's under your kitchen sink. Now, I can't do it because I don't know how to do it, but that's what he used to tell me. So it's not like you have to get things that are impossible to buy to be able to create a lot of havoc. But apparently her plans extended beyond an attack on the state capitol of New York, where she wanted to blow things up. She wanted to disguise it as a food delivery and then blow things up, which would affect the state senators in New York. Special agent in charge of the FBI's Albany field office, Craig Tremarelli, said she didn't just want to kill lawmakers. She wanted a complete disruption of our government. Now, this is important because what people forget about terrorism is terrorists' plots are not to kill a million people. Terrorism succeeds when you kill 100 and you terrorize 100,000. You terrorize a million. That's how they succeed. And a lot of those bombs that they put in backpacks and things like that, you know, last time I looked it up, it was a little over $100 worth of stuff. People forget about how easy it is to do some of these things. But apparently she had planned to leave the country after bombing the Capitol and later returned to do more, apparently, including an attack in Times Square on New Year's Eve. She also spoke of attacking the White House and the president. But here's the funny thing. So they've got her on camera at the store buying things, completely covered head to toe. Okay, nothing like standing out wherever you're buying these items, right? Not even smart enough to try to blend in. You show up full garb, totally covered head to toe. It still stands out in America that you'd be doing that, right? Beginning in mid-July, she told a source she wanted to help making explosives and identify the Capitol as her target. Investigators said she walked around the building roughly five separate occasions, taking photographs and studying the surrounding area and security. And once again, I don't know if she did that in full, whatever you want to call the garb, hijab or whatever else she was. I know there are different names for them. I don't know. But that's a way to stand out too, isn't it? In one exchange, she told the FBI source she'd make a point of having picnics near the Capitol and drinking coffee nearby so she could observe the building. She told the source she wanted to destroy as much of the Capitol. And once again, this is the Capitol in Albany, and kill senators while they were meeting. As I mentioned, she also wanted to put the stuff in a bag that would make her look like a food delivery worker. So she goes to Home Depot in Rensselaer, up there in New York State, using $200 provided by one of the confidential sources, and bought materials she would believe would build a bomb. Okay. A large container of nails, this and that. Okay. Once again, they've got her on camera. I saw the pictures. So here she's in full garb. I mean, not that I'm going to look at any woman wearing those clothes and assume she's a terrorist, but she's going to stand out. Let's just put it that way. Wow. The next day, she delivered a DoorDash bag that she said could be used to conceal the device. August 19th, she met again with confidential sources and paid $150 for what she believed was a handgun, magazine, and ammunition. Okay. I mean, enemies among us. There are always people who are out to do us harm. It's a shame. It's sad. And thank God for the FBI taking a look at that kind of situation, because there are people who, I don't get it. I mean, you have an amazing amount of freedom in this country. You'd think you'd appreciate it, but this is a cult of death. I've been reading a book this week, because I'm going to interview this guy on my podcast, Heidi Harris Show. If you get it, it's on Odyssey app, Heidi Harris Show. And he wrote a book called United in Hate. And it's one of those, and I don't normally read books, political books, that I'm going to agree with. You know, if it's going to be something like, oh, the left sucks and the right's right. Oh, no, thanks. But this is very interesting. I did not understand a lot of the history on how these various hate groups come together. Now, I believe as a Christian that it's a satanic influence on a lot of these folks. And they're cults of death. They really are at the end of the day. But how they're all connected politically, religiously. It's not just a certain religious group. It's not certain, you know, liberals. It's very interesting, their thinking and their goals. And they don't care about our freedom. They don't appreciate our freedom. When people say, well, why don't they come here to America and appreciate the wonderful freedom we have? Because they don't want us to have it. They don't want anybody to have it, because all they want is death and destruction. That's what it comes down to. And it's been kind of fascinating. I'm looking forward to talking to this guy who wrote the book here in a couple of weeks. But wow, we don't understand why somebody wouldn't look at our wonderful country and be happy to be here. Remember when all the soccer players were here from all over the world, and how wonderful a lot of them found America to be, and they were shocked that it was something completely different than they had been told. And wow, this is so cool. And you have all these groceries and you have all these beautiful places and it's not crowded and blah, blah, blah. And a lot of people from third world countries were seeing America for the first time, the real America, not the America as portrayed by the media. They were all running around with guns trying to kill each other. And we all hate each other. I mean, if you watch certain, you know, look at certain news sites, you wouldn't want to come to America. You would assume everyone hated each other and was trying to kill each other. Not that at all. But a lot of these people saw America for the very first time and couldn't believe how great we were. But unfortunately, there are people who come here and they just look at our weakness and they want to hurt us. And I remember my dad was sick with cancer. He was diagnosed in 2001. And this is right after the anthrax attacks that happened on the East Coast. And we went to an oncologist, and the oncologist was from Iran. And I asked him, I said, what do you think about these anthrax attacks? And he looked right at me. I'll never forget it. He looked at me and he said, you Americans are weak. You don't know how they think. I do. You need to round up everybody back there and question them, blah, 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 blah. And he had moved to America in 1980. And he said, when I moved here, the Olympics were happening and they, you know, basically interrogated him and this and that and the other. That guy is not a threat to me. I'm not talking about everybody who's from a certain place. But his point was, we don't understand it. We think, wouldn't it be great if they could just see how we can live? Wouldn't it be just great? And then people move to America and drown their daughters in the pool because they're dating the wrong guy. No, we don't do that in America. That's not what we do. You may get mad at who your daughter dates. Sure, my family did. But you don't get to drown them in the pool because they're dating the wrong person. Don't bring that stuff here. And that's not what everybody thinks from other countries, but there are people who come here and they don't care. They see our freedom as weakness. That's what we don't understand. And these idiot girls who convert to Islam and they start doing the bidding of these folks, these guys, I mean, there are a couple of them who've been murdered by boyfriends, I think, in Ireland. I have to look this up, but I think two of them are killed in Ireland by these boyfriends that they, you know, they're Palestinian or something, Middle Eastern, something. I have to look it up. Killed by these boyfriends. Oh, he's so cute. And we're going to have this great life. But they don't understand the background. How does he really think? And they have these, I don't know, idealized versions of what they think these guys are. Yeah, sure. A lot of them are very good looking. I'm not questioning that. But you have to look at how somebody's raised, what their beliefs are. And I don't get it. And then they get over there, the ones who don't get killed, get over there in the Middle East and go, uh-oh, this sucks. That's not what I thought it was going to be. Well, then they want to come back. No, 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 no. So, you know, you get these dumb, impressionable girls. Here she is, 35 years old, trying to come up with a way to blow up a building and kill a bunch of state senators and ultimately had bigger plans in mind. I mean, this is an American girl raised in America. These people are influenced online. Sometimes they're lonely. We don't really know, but we've got to keep an eye on these people. And thank God for the FBI on this one that stopped this girl from doing who knows what kind of damage she could have done. We don't know. But we know she planned it. Planned to do some damage to the country she grew up in. I mean, I don't like a lot of lawmakers. I'm not going to lie to you, but I would never want to hurt them. That's not the answer. It's not the way. You vote them out if you can. And if not, you just let God have it. What else can you do sometimes? A lot of them are corrupt. A lot of them are, you know, arrogant jerks, but you don't kill people. It's not the way you achieve things. But that's not the way she thinks anymore. This is an American raised in America. That's not how she thinks. She's been converted to an entirely different way of thinking. And that's a problem. And we all have to watch out for that. That's for sure. I'm Heidi Harrison for Mark Reardon. Here's Sue's News.
These allegations are deeply concerning.
Does the president have any comment?
We're not going to comment.
It's not clear messaging.
No.
And now, Sue's News. Brought to you by Sue.
Well, you guys, it's National Bacon Lovers Day.
Oh, I'm there. Yes. Oh, yeah, I'm so there.
You know, we have in town, Heidi, the Crown Candy Kitchen, which is that probably one of the oldest, counters where you can get malts and that sort of thing. But it's also home to the world's biggest, I would say, BLT. And they fry the bacon every morning and the entire neighborhood smells like it. But you can go there. Fred, what is your order at Crown Candy Kitchen?
The bacon, lettuce, tomato sandwich. It's so good. Uh-huh. It's so, I've actually got a red t-shirt that I own that I got there talking about it. It's amazing.
What does it say? Fred, have eaten.
It's something about a heart attack in progress or something like that.
Ethan, have you been there?
No, I haven't. The most knowledge I have on it is I edited that History of the Loop with Sue. So, you know, I know just about as much as one would know about it, but I have not experienced this glorious BLT myself.
All right, we've got to take you there. They also have a really good egg salad, but I like that and a banana milkshake. Oh, so good. Anyway.
Banana milkshake.
Yeah. Oh, and here's the thing. Heidi, you understand this as well. There's nothing worse than either the fake flavor of banana or watermelon. Those are the two worst fake flavors.
I don't think I've ever thought about it.
Oh, I guarantee you this is the truth. So they have a real banana milkshake, and it just elevates everything. You could get banana chocolate if you wanted. Oh, it's so good. Or you can have it be a malt.
Whatever happened to ice cream? Just ice cream, and give me the chocolate syrup on the ice cream.
Yeah, wasn't yesterday soft serve ice cream day?
Yeah, it was a glorious day. That was. And we've talked about it. It's also National Radio Day. Oh, now, you know, my brother is coming in town tomorrow. I'm going to pick him up at the airport. Now, his wife, I love her. She's awesome. I have a great sister-in-law. But she's also a fan of the turkey bacon. Now, turkey bacon is fine. But I am getting the boy some pork bacon.
Mm.
For the weekend.
Good on you.
And he will be happy.
Fred stole the words.
And National Chocolate Pecan Pie Day.
Broccoli Day? When is Broccoli Day, Sue?
Broccoli does not get a day, Heidi. What is going on?
If you boil it, it smells like feet. Now, that's just a fact. I don't love a pecan pie. Fred, your thoughts?
Yeah, I'm not big into pecan pie.
But chocolate version is not bad. Ethan?
No, not my thing. I mean, I'm already, you know, super picky with, there's only a few pies that I'm like, you know, I'll do it. Like, what was the pie that you made for us a couple weeks ago? That was divine. Now, you know, apple pie, great. But outside of that, I mean, I'd rather go with a different dessert if I'm going to eat a treat.
Like banana cream, you wouldn't eat that?
No, coconut cream.
Coconut cream is excellent.
See, I just don't have enough experience with pies, I guess. I feel like... I feel like
been eating bad crust and store-bought.
That might be the case, but I feel like pies are probably just not made as much as they used to be.
Well, that's probably true.
I've got to, go out here and just tell everyone coconut cream pie, Gilligan's Island specialty.
Is that what it was?
Oh, yeah. Because they were on an island. That's all the only ingredients they had.
Well,
that's hilarious.
Somehow they made a crust. That,
it was only a 3-hour cruise.
Yes, that's what I've heard. Heidi, Fred is an expert on all things Gilligan's Island. He has books about it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that's what screwed me up was when they were talking about the Explorer, right? Right? The Explorer?
The Minnow?
No, when they were talking about Caruso. Robinson Caruso. It wasn't Robinson Caruso. It was Robinson Crusoe. Caruso was a singer. Screwed me
right.
up as a
Enrico
kid.
Caruso. Yeah.
Yeah, totally screwed me up.
Fred and Mark maintain that the show holds up. I am skeptical.
Yeah.
On this day into history, 52 years ago. Now, see, I don't think I realized it was that long ago because we're talking about 1974. And that's when Nolan Ryan, who of the California Angels, became the first major league pitcher to have a fastball clocked at over 100 miles per hour.
Wow.
1974. Steroid-free, of course.
Yes. Wow, that's impressive.
That's pretty impressive.
It was a different world back then.
It really was.
Can we go back to Gilligan's Island for 1 second? Fred, are you a Ginger or Marianne guy? I want to know.
Definitely Marianne.
Yeah.
Okay, just checking. Mm-hmm. Okay, sorry, Sue. Go ahead.
It's a well-established fact. That's just how it is.
Yeah.
It's a... Fred knows everything about it.
So Mark is a Marianne person, too.
Yes, he is. Mm-hmm. Wait, nobody's Speaking Ginger? Of a,
I don't think Ethan knows what we're talking about.
I'm just politely sitting
Ethan
here.
Ethan hasn't even seen Blazing Saddles, so you guys just skip over him for this.
On this day in history, 49 years ago, in 1977, the United States launched Voyager 2, and it was the unmanned spacecraft carrying a 12-inch gold-plated phonograph. I'm sorry, gold-plated phonograph. And it was a record that scientists hoped aliens would find and play, and they would learn about Earth. Now, of course, this seems so rational. The recording has 55 greetings, 55 different languages. They had nature sounds. They had samples of music, including Mozart, Beethoven, and, of course, this from St. Louis. Oh, I should have mentioned that to you earlier.
Oh, yeah. Woo. I was going to say, where's your rock and roll, man? Who wouldn't like this?
Well, the aliens could have rocked out to Chuck Berry. Johnny be good. I don't think the aliens. Deep down in Louisiana,
close to New Orleans. How can you not smile when you hear the song? How can you?
Fantastic. You guys, I didn't realize this. There is a documentary coming out next month about how comedian and actor Dane Cook's half-brother and business manager stole $12 million from him. And it's called Funny Money, and it's kind of a dramatic trailer, but here's the sound from it.
Dane, it's your brother. The FBI is involved with something? Dane, what happened? What have you done?
A person that spent so much time pretending to be something he wasn't. From the moment he left that bank, my brother disappeared.
There were bricks of hundreds and all the spaghetti sauce.
And the pasta sauce, of course. Where else would you put the money?
Where is he? What has he done? How does this end?
Isn't that crazy? I didn't know this was that this story existed. And his half-brother was hiding his money in, pasta sauce and red sauce. And apparently he was convicted and then has disappeared. I think he may have served jail time and then just has vanished off the face of the earth.
Okay,
so
who's
it's the
Dane
story
Cook?
Of how he got that. Did you know this story, Heidi?
I did not. I don't even know who this guy is.
Yeah. Oh, Dane Cook?
I don't know either.
Oh, you guys Google him. You'll look at him and go, oh, it's that guy.
Oh, I know this guy. Okay.
Yeah. Wow. So you trust your brother and you think everything's fine and it turns out he's stolen $12 million from you.
Well, Billy Joel's brother-in-law took like $90 million from him back in the day. I mean, that's crazy.
That is a great documentary, by the way, if you haven't seen it, the one on Billy
I
Joel.
I haven't. I'll have to look for it. I love Billy Joel. But, I mean, can you even imagine that? I mean, because you're out there busting your butt, out there performing, and somebody's just stealing all your money behind the scenes.
I believe that was his wife at the time's brother.
Yeah,
so it was his, almost, brother-in-law-ish. I'm not sure they were married yet. Okay.
I heard a comedian meet him one time talking about that, saying he said he did just the way you are, and then he dumped her for Christie Brinkley. I'm not sure it went that way, but it was a funny comedian line.
It didn't. Took a watch. Netflix is being sued over K-pop Demon Hunters by a Christian metal band called Demon Hunter. They say they've been damaged in, quote, an amount not yet ascertainable. Netflix says the band's claims are without merit, and they will vigorously defend themselves. I don't think you can hold on to Demon Hunters as two words put together and try to protect that. But we'll
see
how it
goes. Who's into K-pop? Ethan, are you into K-pop?
No. And finally, in Sue's News, today's random fact, the name for a group of ferrets is a business. And that's it for Sue's News.
There you go. I'm Heidi Harris. It won't surprise anybody. By the way, I'm Heidi Harris in for Mark Reardon. It won't surprise anybody that people pretty much nowadays consider driving over the speed limit normal. AAA actually did a study on this. Joining us is Nick Jabaria. He is the spokesperson for the AAA of Missouri. How are you, sir? Thank you for joining the Mark Reardon Show.
Doing great. Great to be on.
Glad to have you. So it's so funny because the other day I was driving in Utah with my husband in the mountains, and I got pulled over for 6 miles over the speed limit. I mean, I was trying really hard going up and down the hills, but 6 miles over, and I thought, are you kidding me? Because where I live, 10 miles is routine. And your study found that, that people figure 10 miles per hour over the speed limit, it's not a big deal, right?
Yeah, you know, and this study, I think you said it off the top, it kind of really puts the data to what I think a lot of folks are seeing normally out on the roads. And that's that, you know, most people agree that no one actually drives the speed limit. And that's problematic for a number of reasons from a traffic safety perspective. But the study really takes a good look at why people believe it's acceptable to speed. And then also, you know, what might slow them down.
So what are the main reasons people give? I should say not reasons, excuses. They'll call them reasons. I'll say excuses for driving over the speed limit because sometimes there's nobody around. It's one thing. I'm not defending it. Other times they're weaving in and out of traffic. You know, what excuses do they make?
Yeah, you know, well, the majority of drivers surveyed, and this was a survey of over 11,000 drivers, we found that getting around slower drivers was the number one reason that people would speed. But then also reaching their destination faster, so saving time, or the third, you know, and maybe most concerning is avoiding holding up traffic. And that concern about avoiding holding up traffic really goes back to people wanting to keep up with traffic, follow the traffic patterns, which, you know, of course, we can understand if people are zooming by on I-70, that can be a little unnerving if you're driving the speed limit and, you know, people are going 80, 85 next to you. But I think it's sort of that herd mentality that gets folks into trouble. And especially when you're talking about safety on a roadway, for what the speed the roadway was designed for, and then also the driving conditions, whether it's weather or construction or whatever it might be. So it really is an eye-opening survey into kind of what's going on with people's thinking when they're out on the roads and how it relates to speeding.
We're speaking with Nick Jabaria. He's a spokesman for AAA of Missouri. I'm Heidi Harris in for Mark Reardon. Yeah, it's interesting to me that because you hear the stories about if people are going too slow, way too slow for traffic, that other people try to go around them because they get impatient and that can cause even more accidents. But like my husband and I have a truck camper and with a truck camper, we can't go more than 62 miles an hour safely and in control. I don't care if we're in Utah where it's 80 miles an hour. Doesn't matter where it is. We can't do it. And people get mad and they go around. What are you going to do, though? I mean, that's just reality for some people.
Yeah, you know, and it really kind of goes back to, the basics of driving that, you know, we'd hope most drivers would learn before getting their license. That's, of course, sharing the road and having respect for other drivers. You know, driving is one of the few things that we do every single day. Most people do every single day, you know, where you're putting your trust, a lot of trust in people around you if for your safety, as well as, you know, making sure you're staying safe and keeping your passengers safe. So, you know, when it comes to speeding, you know, we know it's been a real problem. Just for example, on Missouri and Illinois roadways, speeding accounts for anywhere from 33% to 40% of all fatal crashes, or it's involved a factor in all fatal crashes. So it's a huge issue. We saw it really ramp up over the pandemic when roads were emptier and there were the more risky drivers out on the roadways. But, you know, by and large, you know, we know that speeding is something that needs to be addressed. And, you know, there are a number of ways to do that. But really, it comes down to personal responsibility when you're behind the wheel is a good first step.
No question. And, you know, speeding obviously is twofold. You can have the one car accident where people go too fast because they just don't have control of their vehicle. But also, if you're going too fast for the road, because, you know, the people who design roads know what the speed limit should be for that particular road. If you're going way above and beyond that, around a corner, whatever else, you're not in a position, if you're speeding, to be able to adjust to somebody else quickly enough to avoid an accident.
Yeah, that's exactly right. You know, every road is designed for a certain speed, whether it's, you know, what the guardrails are rated for on that particular stretch of road. If there's curbs, if there's hills, blind spots, if there's entry exit points for side roads. So, you know, there really is a science behind it. And it's not just a matter of setting a number and then asking drivers to stick to it. And, you know, we're actually seeing that right now play out in real time in Missouri with recent legislation that raised the speed limit on rural interstates. You know, we know that the Department of Transportation right now is looking at how that might happen on some of those stretches of rural highways to see how those roads were designed and what they can actually withstand and what's, you know, what's actually safe to do. So, you know, there's more to it than I think maybe some drivers realize. But, you know, by and large, speed limits are set for a reason. And those should really be, you know, think of it as sort of a benchmark, the maximum of what you should go and, you know, adjust lower based on things like road conditions, visibility, and other traffic around you.
I was speaking with Nick Jaberia. He's a spokesperson for AAA of Missouri. You know, I was surprised something you said. I hadn't even thought about this, that when they're setting speed limits, besides all the other reasons that they're doing it, road conditions, curves, this and that and the other, I hadn't thought about the barriers that protect you from going over the mountain as being designed for a certain speed limit. That I never thought about it that way.
Yeah, yeah. You know, speed is one factor, and whether it's the, you know, the solid guard rails, and I'm not an engineer, but whether it's the solid guard rails or the wire barriers that you see in a lot of highways, you know, those all have impact ratings. And we know that, you know, speed along with vehicle weight and you know, other factors can impact you know, the force that, you know, would be caused if a vehicle slams into those. So those are designed to protect the driver of that vehicle that may be running off the road, but then also in the instance of a crash, protect drivers maybe on the other side of the highway as well. So there's not more damage done. So, you know, those are all kinds of factors that are taken into account when setting the speed limit. So, you know, again, it's so important for drivers to understand that and realize the risk associated with high speeds, especially on highways and interstates.
Yeah, and a lot of people don't adjust for the weather. Where I live, it doesn't ever, almost never rains, okay? So when it does, it becomes a bumper car derby real fast because people don't have any idea what to do because the first 20 minutes when all of the grease is coming up from the road and, you know, they just don't adapt. Some people don't adapt when it's snowing, and that's a huge factor too.
Yes, snow is a perfect example, especially in, you know, in the St. Louis area, that first snowfall of the year. You know, it seems like it's everybody's first time experiencing snow out on the roadways. So, you know, that's a perfect example, though, you know, and you see the pileups and the backups caused by even just the light snow. And, you know, every situation is different. But, you know, many times that could be avoided if cars simply slow down. You know, it's going to take you a little bit longer to get to your destination. But if it means avoiding a crash or, you know, getting stuck behind a backup, you know, that's a much better option than, you know, getting stuck on the interstate for several hours while clearing your vehicle off.
Yeah, don't we always see that every year? We see the some backup in Iowa or something happens, and one person rear ends somebody, and then 42 cars do it. I'm thinking, didn't anybody give the car in front of them any space so they could avoid this? And all these cars pile up, and you're thinking, who was paying attention? Clearly no one.
Yeah, it can be really challenging. And I think, you know, weather plays a huge factor as well, whether it's ice, snow, rain, you know, that's going to impact your stopping distance, your vehicle's control. And bottom line, when there's wet weather out on the roads, you can't drive as fast as you would when it's sunny and dry. And I think that kind of goes along with this study, though, that folks don't really understand the impacts, the ramifications of what could be happening when they're speeding. You know, I'll point out, one kind of quick other note, countermeasures, the survey looked at what would be most likely to get drivers to slow down. Avoiding a speeding ticket was number one, with about 80% saying that'd be most effective. And that's fair, right? Nobody wants to get hit with a fine, but, ooh, you know, avoiding a crash was below that, which, you know, from a safety perspective, that should be number one, right? Keeping yourself, your passengers are safe, but right. No, it's getting caught, you know, in the act. And so
it's all about me. I don't care about that other driver. Yeah.
That goes to the perception of speeding and kind of highlights what this study, you know, one of the main takeaways from the study, there's just this perception around speeding that really needs to change. And it, again, kind of starts with driver's attitude and driver's mentality.
Yeah, and that's true. And leave the house 10 minutes earlier, guys, or at least on time. Give yourself that extra cushion, because that extra, 5 minutes that you're trying to save, you're not going to make it up. Even if you speed from light to light, you're not going to make up the time. And keep yourself safe by giving yourself some time. Then you're more relaxed when you're behind the wheel, and you can actually focus and not be frantic because you're late.
It is. You know, it's a much more relaxing, enjoyable experience anytime you're not rushed. Think about it now. If listeners are wanting to try it out. I mean, on a relaxed drive, when you're not rushed, really focus on that. And that could be, most of the time, even on your commute to work, just leaving yourself a little bit more time, to account for traffic, account for backups. And that way you're not having to speed to get to where you're going.
Absolutely. Bad, bad, bad. And nobody likes a ticket. And that's true. And we've all gotten them. And that just sucks. And Nick Chavarria, thank you for joining us from AAA Missouri. Appreciate your time on the Mark Rudin Show.
Absolutely. Hope everybody stay safe out there.
Stay safe. Give yourself 5 extra minutes. Okay. Thanks for that. Appreciate it. I'm Heidi Harrison for Mark Rudin. As he takes a couple of days off to kick around the golf course. BMW tournament this weekend. Big money. Big money in this tournament too, by the way. It'd be fun to see. Saw this story and I just had to mention it, guys. This is out of Madison County, Illinois. A man has been found guilty of a home invasion that occurred in 2025. But here's what caught my attention about it. His name is Jesse Stewart, 42 years old. Was found guilty in a bench trial for breaking into a couple's home July 4th, 2025. According to testimony during the trial, the couple woke up after hearing someone inside their home. The woman called 911. I can't imagine anything more terrifying. Now, I have a lot of dogs, so you're not going to get real far without me not being aware of it. It's funny, when I first got married, my husband likes to sleep with quiet, and I like to sleep with the TV on. We're still working it out 24 years later. Okay, we're still working it out. But he likes quiet. I like noise. And he would say when we first got married, he said, well, yeah, but I want to hear if something's happening. And I said, that's why I feed dogs. It's their job. If someone steps on a twig outside, that's their job. Anyway, so they hear a guy in their house. The woman calls 911. Are you listening to this, Sue? This is crazy. The man grabbed a gun as the intruder entered their bedroom. You ready for this? It's better. But the homeowner did not fire a shot. Now, I don't want someone to kill anybody else. Nobody wants a loss of life. But the guy's in your bedroom. You have a gun. I'm stunned that he didn't shoot him. If I was his wife, I'd probably be... I mean, could have gone terrible. Could have gotten a lot worse. But the testimony at the trial detailed that the man and Stewart fought inside, the homeowner and Stewart, the assailant, fought inside the home until police arrived and he was arrested. So, okay. I'm trying to understand, just based on the facts I have here. You have a gun. I'm not advocating killing other people, folks. You have a gun. This guy's in your bedroom. I'm sorry, your wife's in the bedroom. Is there anything else you need to do? What kind of a beta guy is this? I'm trying to figure this out. Okay, I don't know. I'm judging. I don't know what happened, but I'm judging. I am judging. It's crazy. What's the point of having a gun? What's going to trigger you, no pun intended, to actually take action, sir, if the man is in your bedroom and you're still like shaking with a gun? Oh, I've got a gun. Oh, brother. Okay, anyway. Okay. Here's some good news from the go woke, go broke side of the aisle. Ted Cruz is taking a victory lap because Nike's stock has gone down. They've lost nearly $200 billion in market value since 2021. I guess what Ted Cruz is talking about, I did not have, did you ever see the Betsy Ross shoe that they were talking about making, Ethan? Are you familiar with that? The Betsy Ross shoe? Am I talking to myself here? I guess I am. Okay. The Betsy Ross shoe. They were supposed to make it, and then I guess they decided not to, maybe for political reasons, who knows? But Trump is liking the fact that apparently he said when they decided not to make the Betsy Ross theme shoe, the company lost me. Ted Cruz said, for my whole life, I wore nearly 100% Nike for athletic wear. He said, Kaepernick pissed me off. But when they canceled the Betsy Ross shoe, it showed their marketing plan was America hate. I went out and bought brand new shirts, shorts, T-shirts. Turns out I wasn't the only one. So their stock price hit a 12-year low. Falling nearly, as I mentioned, nearly 80% since 2021. You know, listen, companies have the right to do anything they want to. Another quick story here about companies having the right to do whatever they want to do real quickly. There's an Idaho coffee shop owner. He and his wife kicked out a group of pro-life people who were meeting in their restaurant. They came in, they paid for their food, they went and sat down, and they were having a little meeting, a pro-life meeting. 15 people. And they were talking about a ballot measure that would legalize abortion. They were just discussing it quietly in the restaurant. Well, somebody, the owner of the restaurant, figured this out and kicked them out of the restaurant. The owner said, this is my place of business. I did a lot of work to help get people to get on the ballot so women would have the right to choose. And this is something I do not support, nor does my wife. I'm sorry, this is the husband. So we have that choice. So they kicked them out of the restaurant. Now, they have the right to do that. But unfortunately, they've had a lot of hate, which is terrible. They're saying that they've gotten a lot of hate from people, and that's not okay, guys. You know, in a situation like that, just don't go to the restaurant. If you're in Idaho or passing through Idaho or any place where you hear about something like this happening, there's no reason to be hateful, nasty, rude, you know, saying nasty things on social media, saying nasty things to them, because then you're like the other side. You want to do that? As a business owner, it seems to me you have the right to decide who you want in your business or not. They have the right to refuse service. So they told these people to leave, which of course is ridiculous. But they're allowed to, and they should be allowed to. But I don't think it's right for our side to be sending them hate and all that kind of stuff. That's wrong. All kind of wrong. That's not the way to handle things, folks. We're supposed to rise above it, aren't we? Yeah. I'm Heidi Harris, in for Mark Reardon.
Get more at 971talk.com.